Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking about the NBA playoffs, talking about the Lakers and that mess. Senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, NBA TV, NBA Radio, Full 48 Podcast. Everything there is about the great sport of basketball. There's Shooter from Hoosiers, and then there's Howard Beck. Find him on Twitter at Howard Beck. Howard, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Doing well. So what's the move for the Lakers, my friend? Let's just start off with it. Who's the next head coach? Do they get a team president of basketball operations? Does it just become Rich Paul? What are your thoughts?
I think Rich is a little busy. I don't know exactly where this is heading. The Lakers have been less than transparent. It's been, what, 3 days since Magic abruptly, shockingly stepped down without even informing his colleagues or his boss. And we've yet to hear from Rob Pelinka, who is now running the show in lieu of Magic being there. We have yet to hear from Jeannie Buss, the owner. It's a fairly strange situation. You know, they can't operate with just Rob Pelinka and the staff that's left, I don't think. I think at a minimum, you need to either decide that Rob Pelinka is now the head of everything and elevate him to president and have him hire a GM, hopefully one who's actually been a GM before, because neither he nor Magic had been when they were hired. Mm-hmm. Or you hire somebody, a trusted and experienced hand, to come in over Rob Pelinka, potentially. But either way, I think you need to do that before you decide who your new coach is. And, of course, there's already rumblings about them wanting to hire, perhaps Tyronn Lue or someone else. And I think that's getting way out ahead of themselves. Now, if Pelinka's going to be the guy anyway, then okay, fine. You want the person in charge of basketball operations to be the one who hires the coach. And if Rob Pelinka's not going anywhere, then I guess that's fine. But has that decision truly been made yet? Does he have that authority? They've not made that clear. And, you know, they really need to get the front office and their leadership settled, I believe, before you go out and decide who your next coach is going to be. And I think, for that matter, having let Luke Walton go at the time that they did with all this unsettled, I'm not sure if that was the right thing or not. I do think that, especially given the language that they used in the press release where it was mutual, and look, we knew that he was in trouble anyway, mm-hmm. but I think it's altogether possible that Luke saw that, look, I don't have support from Pelinka anyway. This situation is kind of messy. You know, I don't want to wait for them to decide how they're going to figure out the front office. I know there's opportunities out there. The Sacramento Kings are interested. Let me just get out of here now.
Howard Beck joining us on the show. I think you're absolutely right about that. For LeBron, what do you think's going through his head right now with 3 more years left on a deal? He's not, the whole age thing is always going to get brought up here. Is he thinking about chess moves, how to make the Lakers better, or is he thinking about other things?
Well, look, you know from, working where you do, that the perception of LeBron's decision to leave Cleveland again, and this time to go to L.A. to a franchise that hadn't been to the playoffs in years, to a franchise that had been a little unstable and had a lot of young talent but not proven talent, the belief widespread around the league last summer was this was not a basketball move. This was not a move to enhance his resume with more title chases. This was a lifestyle move. This was a post-career move. This was my family wants to live in L.A. and I want to be near my media, burgeoning media empire kind of move. Now, I don't know if that's a completely fair impression or not. It's certainly what a lot of people around the league thought back in July. And if that's the case, then maybe it's not as alarming as it would have been 5 years ago or a couple of championships ago for him. Maybe mm-hmm. at this stage, it's okay. I don't think that, by the way. Knowing what I do of LeBron, I don't think that he's satisfied to be out of the playoffs. I don't think he'd be satisfied to not be at least, in theoretical contention for titles still. So I've never bought that narrative entirely, but I do think there's at least an element of it, and LeBron himself has projected that even while he was still in Cleveland, where he said at times to Joe Vardon and others, hey, I've got nothing left to prove. And, you know, there's always more you can do. There's always more rings to chase, of course, and you know, other honors to rack up. But what's going through his head? I'm sure there's a lot of disappointment. I'm sure there's some concern and frustration. And I think, you know, he, like everybody else, is probably just waiting to see what do they do next. And I'm sure he's going to want to have some voice in that. And look, a guy of his stature has earned that.
Warriors and Clippers tip off 5:15 Western time. Is this the last run for Kevin Durant in a Warriors uniform?
You'll have a hard time finding anybody in the league who doesn't think so. I mean, you know, I try to stay away from predictions on a lot of things, but especially free agency. I mean, it's just, you know, no one knows what's going on in these guys' heads. And in Kevin Durant's case in particular, he's, as I often say, not the most reliable narrator of his own career. I mean, he's, you know, he's all over the map. And from everything we've heard, he was, you know, wavering all, you know, and like crazy and just changing his mind every 5 minutes. 4 years ago, whenever it was, 4 years ago, has it been 3 years? 3 years ago when he left OKC for Oakland. But everybody around the league believes he's leaving, and they believe that for a reason. It's largely to do with whispers that they've heard, and also Kevin Durant's own words. Kevin Durant has told other players over the course of the season, I'm out of here. He has said it to friends around the league, to opponents in the middle of games, I've been told.
Kidding.
And
seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not really good for team morale. Okay, sorry, Howard, go right on ahead. That was just shocking to me. I'm sorry. I don't know if that's the time and place to say that to people. Maybe he's angry. I don't know, but that rubs me the wrong way. But go ahead.
I mean, I'd be fascinated at some point to find out all the different things that guys say that are probably not the most appropriate thing in the middle of games. But, I mean, this does happen. You know, opponents pick up on divides between teams when they're playing, and if you see guys on the other team that are not cooperating, when you're defending them, you know, because you can see, oh my God, he just looked his guy off. Oh, he just completely ignored him. And because they're on the court and close enough to hear all this, they hear if teammates are sniping at each other, the opponent hears that too. So, I mean, don't be too shocked. This stuff does happen. And that Kevin Durant, this is, again, according to team officials with other teams that I've talked to, their guys on their teams have heard, their players have heard this directly from Durant on the court. So anyway, he's probably gone, but he could change his mind. He's probably going to New York unless he doesn't. You know, I mean, there's the difference between what everybody around the league is gossiping and believes and what actually may happen. And so I always throw that as the qualifier because the NBA grapevine is very active and it's, you know, you hear a lot of things. It doesn't mean it's right. And sometimes it could be a game of telephone where, you know, a couple of, you know, whispers get around and, you know, it morphs along the way and maybe everybody's, you know, maybe it all leads back to the same origin, but yeah, don't be shocked if Durant is on his last run.
At Howard Beck on Twitter, he joins us on the show, senior NBA writer for the Bleacher Report. Tomorrow, I think an interesting game, 1 p.m. Eastern. Celtics, they're hosting the Pacers to start off their series. Can the Pacers get this Celtics team in an entire series?
I think this is going to be really interesting. You never would call a 5-4 an upset if the fifth seed won, because usually those teams are pretty close together anyway, by definition. Mm-hmm. The Celtics, you know, funky season they've had. They're missing Marcus Smart. And, you know, the Pacers, even without Oladipo, as we've seen, have had a really strong season. They were pretty steady after Oladipo went down. And they play their butts off. They've got some good young talent. I'm not expecting a Pacers upset, but I'm also not expecting an easy series. And I do think that the Celtics, if they slip up anywhere along the way here, yeah, they could lose. That's not out of the question.
Do you find yourself, I know you don't root for teams and things like that, Howard, but do you find yourself, I don't know, maybe a little bit pulling for a team like the Pacers because they don't let their franchise just die? Like, you know what I'm saying by that? Like, it's not, well, yeah, we're going to tank it out for years. They don't do that, and they're a consistent, decent basketball team.
The way I would put it is I respect what they're about. I respect the fact that no matter what they've done, no matter who their leadership has been, frankly, you know, as they've transitioned over the years from, you know, Larry Bird and Kevin Pritchard leading the front office, Nate McMillan as coach, you know, following, you know, string of others, no matter who it's been, they have been consistent, and this goes up to ownership. They have been consistent about the fact that we are not a team that's ever going to strip it down. We're not going to go play the lottery odds. We're not going to tank. We're not going to do some multi-year, let's just gather. That's not how they operate. They always want to be competitive. And while the rest of us are kind of chortling sometimes saying, oh, look at them chasing the eighth seed, they end up building a very solid from lower draft picks, by the way. I mean, like, you know, lottery picks, but lower lottery picks, you know, 10th, 15th, you know, they have consistently, or 14th is where the lottery ends, but yeah, they have consistently grabbed good, solid players like Miles Turner and made deals for guys like Bogdanovich and, you know, signed, you know, the Darren Collisons and the Corey Josephs, and they've just put together a really solid team. And the Oladipo thing, look, nobody could have foreseen him jumping into all-star status, but getting him and Sabonis, in addition to the guys that they had collected, made them a very solid team. And if Oladipo stayed healthy, we might be talking about a five-team race in the East, you know, this season. And the Pacers might be right back in the thick of that next year. So, yeah, look, as you say, I don't root for anybody, but you respect what certain teams are about, the way that they've handled it, the way they compete. And, yeah, they're a nice story.
What do you do if the Suns win the lottery? What's your thought?
If the
first
Suns
thought.
Win the lottery as to whether or not they keep or trade?
I'm just asking. I want your first thought, and I'm going to ask you the other two. Go ahead. Suns
okay.
First.
Suns first. I think you probably draft Zion and see how he and Ayton fit together. At least give it a shot.
If the Knicks win the lottery.
If the Knicks win the lottery, this is a really fun one. This is the most entertaining of all of them, because the Knicks are working under assumption. And again, I guarantee you the Knicks are working under this assumption, even if it doesn't come to pass. They are working under the assumption that they are getting Kevin Durant, that they are possibly getting Kyrie Irving along with him, and that they are, I mean, everything they've said, Fizdale's quotes the other day, the things that Jim Dolan, the owner, said on radio a month or so ago, they are talking as if this is a done deal. They absolutely think that they are getting two superstars.
Yeah.
But they don't have the supporting cast. So if they get the draft rights to Zion, if they win the lottery, I think they have to trade it, because youth does not win in this league. And Zion Williamson, for all his athleticism and all of his just eye-popping highlights, is not going to help Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving win a championship in year one. And so, and this is a team, this is a roster that has no veteran talent on it. Like, they just have nothing. And Kevin Knox had a really bad rookie season. Mitchell Robinson was very good, but, you know, it's 1 year. He's still a work in progress. The rest of their youth, like, people around the league are not impressed by Dennis Smith Jr. They're not impressed by what the Knicks have in general. They need veteran talent around Kyrie and KD, if that's who they get. So I think they're going to wherever they pick, I think they possibly are trading that pick, and I think they're trading some of their other youth and some future picks potentially, because they need to rebuild a roster. And if you get two max guys with your two max slots, now you're capped out. You got to find other ways to add talent.
Oh, wow. Now I don't even want to ask you the Cavs. I'll move on. Dwayne Wade or Paul Pierce, who's better?
I mean, look, they're very different players. And Paul put his foot in his mouth with this. It's been kind of entertaining. I can't believe we're on like day 9 of this. I mean, it's Wade, but I love what Paul Pierce's career was. Like, even in his bad years, Paul Pierce, I think there were, like, you know, a bunch of, like, double-digit assist games in there, some triple-doubles maybe even. Like, there were times when he certainly looked like a kind of petulant, selfish player in his youth. And he was. And he had to grow up. And he would be the first to say it, I think. And, you know, Pierce had the good fortune later on of getting Garnett and Ray Allen with him, and they did some great things. And Pierce was a much better version of himself in the latter part of his career because of it. And I think turned into a great leader as well. And he was a finals MVP. But, you know, Dwayne Wade wins a championship in year 3. Dwayne Wade, I think, took less time to figure it out, how to be a star and be a good teammate simultaneously. And I think Paul probably had a little bit more up and down through all that. But again, different positions with different expectations on that. And yeah, Paul just should have never opened up this Pandora's box.
Howard, we thank you so much for the time. All the best, my friend. Hope to run you down again soon.
You got it, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.